Kia ora, koutou. Thank you for inviting me to speak here this morning and speak to people who are, I like the word practitioners, because when I was introduced, you'll notice that I was several long years in education. Well, I'm a practitioner, so my current role is president of PPTA. I'm elected to that role. I'm 2 years in that role, and then I'll go back to my school in the Wairarapa, where I work as a guidance counsellor, and I've been there for some 15 years. And so in terms of being asked to come and speak to a group of health practitioners, although I understand that your practice is in public health and maybe not hands-on, but that's an assumption I can stand to be corrected on. I have real experience of what it is trying to work in an area in that kind of twilight zone between health and education, and trying to match those two systems, those two sets of imperatives in the framework of a young person's life. So I'm very interested to be here and to hear your questions. I also, in the introduction, I've forgotten the word that you used, but you said that I was going to talk about cultural what?
Cultural identity.
Cultural identity. Well, you'll notice the equation with cultural identity is, you jump straight into Māori. It's in terms of budgets, in terms of what pronouncements come from government, there has been a veering away from identifying specific culture and specific cultural identities, and so that the budgets these days, probably since the Ōrewa speech, have been cleaned up, and policy has been cleaned up to take out the cultural, i.e. Māori component. And so that we have budgets that are typified in language that actually doesn't identify Māori specifically very much. It actually talks about other things, needs-based versus race-based, so on and so forth. I could go into a whole lot of stuff around race and treaty or equity, but I won't do that here. I'll do what I thought I was going to do, and that's look at the budget and what's in it for edumacation. And to be really sort of venal, you could probably say that that there's not much in it, so-called, for secondary education. But I actually think that it's an important budget in the sense that it's putting the money into the foundation in terms of an education system, and that's around early childhood. But I'll go back to my notes. I wanted to share with you, first of all, the introduction to an article that I read in an Australian paper. Education is often an underestimated field. It is too familiar. We expect impossible things of it and then blame it for not measuring up, and we fail to appreciate the complexity and difficulty of the challenges associated with a changing world. If you took all the criticisms of schools seriously, you would expect that, if only they did things right, no adult would live in poverty. There'd be no bad drivers, no crime, no sexism, racism or discrimination. Everyone would eat healthy diets and be active and slim. Schools would produce just the right mix of young people to fill the shortages in all the trades. Every student would achieve excellences across the board and go on to do medical and law degrees. Complete year 12 and get an enter score over 99 so that they could all go on to do medical degrees at the University of Melbourne. It's a tall order, and that was read with an Australian, albeit Melbourne accent. I share this with you because while there's no doubt that highly effective schools and teachers play a huge part in helping students achieve qualifications, lead healthy and productive lives, and pursue a lifelong love of learning, they can't do it alone. Funding that addresses social disparity is as important for improving health and educational outcomes for students as funding for the schools themselves. Families must be supported to make ends meet, and schools need to be supported to provide children with the best learning opportunities they can, as free from disruption, and I'll use the disruption in the widest sense possible, as possible. it's important to view this budget from that wider perspective, because if we put a narrow secondary perspective on it, we might say that this year's offerings are a drop in the bucket. And I think, I mean, when Rod talked about, you know, the chance of reading the budget and everybody wondering about the price of fags, I mean, I think I hope that we've got over that. I hope that we've got past the idea that every budget that comes is going to make a huge difference. It's going to attack a huge sector and ignore an equally other large sector. I think the benefits of MMP and the benefits of a longevity in the government term are that you can make budgets that are actually keeping that incremental change going rather than actually destroying or propping up huge sectors of the sector. That said, we all know what happened with the phones. I mean, the telecom, didn't we? So, as the MSD report notes, there's a strong link between good education and good health and vice versa. By its emphasis on building stronger families, the money in this budget will, in the long run, let's face it, changes don't happen overnight, potentially make the job of schools and teachers and educating the children of those families much easier, much more possible. In referring to the budget, I'll focus on its impact in the five areas featured in the MSD report under knowledge and skills as wider determinants of health: early childhood education, qualifications, educational attainment of adults, adult literacy, and tertiary participation. Early childhood education, the investment in this has a reach beyond this particular sector. Research shows that early childhood education makes a difference to student achievement right into secondary school. For secondary teachers, this is significant. Trying to turn around a kid's learning age or reading age at age 13 is much harder than equipping them with foundation social and academic skills before they reach school. Increasing funding in early childhood has resulted in increased participation. In particular, the gap between Māori and Pacific and European or non-Māori, non-Pacific attendance has narrowed, while overall 94% of four-year-olds now attend some form of early childhood education. Qualifications. As the MSD report notes, people who leave school with qualifications also generally experience better health outcomes later in life. Since the inception of the NCA, more students have left school with qualifications, giving them a wider range of options for higher education and future employment. The NCA's implementation has been problematic. But it's a vast improvement on the previous system that condemned 50% of our children to failure. Schools are often accused of not catering for the diverse needs of students, but through the NCA and programs such as Gateway, they are diversifying the senior curriculum and offering pathways to more and more of their students with courses that meet their individual needs. It's actually the most, I think, a substantial change to the education, secondary education, in this country, probably since the first secondary school was opened, the NCA, and we'll be feeling the effects of that for quite a while. PPTA would still contend that schools are too poorly resourced to realise the full potential of NCA. To move from the one-size-fits-all style to programs tailored to student needs, schools need to be resourced to have smaller class sizes so teachers can spend more time with individuals and engage the child or the student in the individual pathways that NCA encourages. That said, we're pleased that the government has committed funding towards establishing a pilot scheme of senior subject advisors to support teachers to use and develop expertise in that kind of assessment. It's a step in the right direction. There are other initiatives that will also tackle the barriers to students achieving success. The already announced initiative, Tackling Disruptive Behaviour in Schools. I find it really funny, that tackling thing. And and the violence-free program in Wairarapa, which, is a sort of a pilot, the slogan was, we can beat violence. So I could only think of tackling in terms of rugby and, what's going to happen tonight. So when we tackle things, I just wonder about whether it's a high tackle or an illegal tackle or around the ankles. Yeah. They already announced the already announced initiative tackling disruptive behaviour in schools aims to help schools reduce the kind of behaviour that gets in the way of those students learning, the disruptive student themselves, as well so undermines other students and ability to learn, and also undermines the recruitment and retainment of teachers, retention of teachers. It's probably not the level of funding that schools were after to deal with behavioural problems that some are experiencing, but it's an acknowledgement that this kind of stuff affects teachers' ability to teach and all kids' ability to learn. The additional $7.6 million funding for quality careers advice in schools should help ease the transition for students from school to further training and employment. What's happened in schools is that individual students at year 10 now are required to have a career plan. Now, they're required to make decisions. It's probably not quite as constraining as that, but they are certainly required to be making decisions about their future far earlier than perhaps people of my generation or my age were, and also probably some of the younger ones in this room. So the pressure is on these kids, and I'm not too sure how comfortable I am with that, or how comfortable we are with that, but that's the reality. So the careers advice in schools, which is often being done by someone called the careers teacher, who gets an allowance to do that work on top of their other work, their classroom teaching, the whole careers area has been, there's a huge higher expectation on that person and that funding. Adult education, the impact of the gateway and modern apprenticeship schemes in the light of the extra funding they've received should also not be underestimated. Gateway gives valuable workplace experience to guide students into considering a trades-based career. Modern apprenticeships help them as they move into that career. Both initiatives provide pathways to employment and further training for students, boosting their qualifications and their ability to participate as active members of our society. These schemes are investing in young people and increasing their skill levels. The $33.5 million to improve literacy, numeracy and language skills of the workforce is also positive. But I don't think we can put that education into neat boxes called literacy and numeracy, because few adults will take up those foundation courses by choice. Though foundation skills are important, we cannot underestimate the role that school-based courses play in instilling that lifelong learning in adults and encouraging those who may have left school early to re-engage in the education system. In summary, this budget seems to be an outlay in our future human capital. We won't see the results for some time, but it takes more than a few years to reverse the dire consequences. Increased crime, poor health, truancy and greater economic and social disparities of underinvestment in people during the 1990s. At the PBTA Charting the Future conference in Wellington 2 years ago, Waikato University Professor Ian Poole said we need to educate, train and employ the baby blippers. That's the cohort of students now entering our secondary schools to play effective and efficient roles in civil society, to quote Professor Poole. Those all involve investments in human capital of the type that will allow us to manage the knowledge wave, the development deemed to be vital for our economic future. They will be a huge advantage if we invest in them. If we don't, they'll simply create a drag on the economy. So I think I got to the same place that that Peter started off in, and that's what are these young people who are going to support the disproportionate or the greater huge number of older people? What are we doing with them now that will enable them to do that, both to their benefit and ours? So, kia ora.